Blog Talk Radio. Well, 22 years ago, it was not a Manic Monday, but it was a crazy day. 22 years ago, there was no TSA, and being able to walk into security in a regional airport, five people got on planes, and the rest, they say, is history. I had been reading Tom Clancy's executive orders, and at the end of it, they have a man hijack a plane, stab the pilot, take over the plane, and fly it into the Capitol, not the Pentagon. And when I got to work that day and saw the plane crash into the towers, I'm like, wow, Tom, someone's been reading your book. It was a day when everything changed. Planes were grounded. My mom was trapped. Well, not trapped, but she was in Oregon. They she had a transfer flight. They'd been to Alaska, and she had a transfer flight. So she's in the wilds of Oregon trying to figure out what she's going to do. I was at work. They're going, well, don't you want to leave early and go home? Figured out the trains were running. They were had extra. The trains and the buses were running. Everything else was running behind schedule, but running. But there were no planes. For the next several days, it was absolutely surreal. I do remember that night going to sleep and then hearing fighter jets. And I know the sound of fighter jets. And I'm just like, oh, okay, that's the sound of freedom. Didn't hear any booming or crashing, so I figured everything else was okay. And went back to sleep. And that was what 9/11 was. Now, one of the buyers that was supposed to be showing up and was supposed to be at work that day was coming from the East Coast on flight 93. She was just coming back after maternity leave. She never made it home, never made it to the West Coast, and never made it home. So many people's lives were changed irrevocably. And to this day, you can't joke having a box cutter, particularly in the Gillette Airport. They're still a little sensitive because it was a regional airport that had messed up and lit the attackers on the plane. So the TSA has that in their cultural history, so they're still a little sensitive about it. So now we get to take off our shoes and socks, and have, you know, everything inspected, x-rayed. But that's not where the money is. It's not what this is about. If you look, remember when we were all coming together on 9/12 and we were all united, and we're all united against tyranny? Well, tyranny is popping its ugly head in the face of unelected individuals. Like in France and in Germany, where they are rolling out digital identification, digital currency, and a digital infrastructure to track your every move. This is tyranny. So would the people say, oh, we need to be more like Europe? No. Rage, rage against the dying of democracy. And now on to fun things like money, 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 money. So we talked about the digital infrastructure. We talked about, and basically, we get unelected bureaucrats to figure out how we can spend our money that we've earned, because it's all in a digital central currency. So let me ask you something. We started off with talking about these bad actors, Mohammed Atta and his crew. Actually, I regret even saying his name, because they do not deserve to have their names mentioned. They should be lost to history. Not romanticized, not remembered in a positive way. Because of the evil and the hurt and the loss, and people's lives were irrevocably changed. That being said, so financially, should we go to a digital currency? The answer is no. You know Money Girl. Money Girl says, no, cash should stay king. And it's not because I want to carry a bunch of denim. It is actually the same denim that uses to make jeans. Well, they don't dye it blue. Guess what? That's why it doesn't wear out when you wash it. That's why it doesn't tear into little shreds. It's actually imprinted denim fabric. It's a cotton fabric. It's actually pretty darn sustainable. And that's cash. Unlike digital currency. Why is digital currency not sustainable? And we've talked about this before. Because it requires vast networks. On a global basis, on what would be a global basis, even on a countrywide basis, right? They're contributing to excess CO2 in the atmosphere. So when you hear people talk about anthropogenic change, anthropogenic human-driven climate change, digital currency, not printing of money, not cows, extra CO2, extra heat created, extra energy used to run the computers, to mine the data, to track this digital currency. Digital currency is not green. It is not sustainable. And if it comes down to it, your money can be recycled. I don't just mean put into circulation. But I do mean that if it came down to it, it could be burned, it could be, and by the way, you know, you can actually burn things in a furnace and not contribute to CO2. That can all be scrubbed. There is a whole process for that. Well, Money Girl, how do you know this? Why? I will tell you why. Because Money Girl has studied sustainability. Money Girl has studied climate change. And Money Girl actually has degrees in it. And if anyone asks, I'm working on yet another degree in energy, in policy and climate. So Money Girl is giving you the realness. I may be spilling some tea, but it is all the realness. All realness, all the time. Okay, so at this point, I'm going to take a quick second to give a shout out to Big Stats and the Splendificus Foundation. They provide this platform so that Money Girl can come and give you the realness on the weekly and talk about things like, well, I'm on a budget, $281 doesn't go very far. No, it doesn't. Particularly when I walked into Costco, got 15 items and spent $105 today. Okay. So, you know, Money Girl, that's because Money Girl walked in with a list, but not necessarily with a budget. Now, we did purchase a few things that were not on the list, and for some they'll be a luxury. For us, it really is a necessity. I can't say necessity because I can probably live without Diet Pepsi, but other people might not. But there are definitely things that make life better for everyone around me. Currency. We've talked about this. Everything is placed into a computer, and the government, whoever is in charge, can decide what your money is worth. When they had a picture of Rishi Sunak shaking hands with Modi, the Prime Minister of India, by the way, this is the same Modi that devalued everyone's currency overnight and limited any bills. The max they could be printed was the $500 rupee note. Anything that people had in the bank was instantly devalued by half overnight. Not only that, but they announced it after the banks were closed. So Modi is not a good guy in my book. Okay, he has done more to damage the Indian economy and to promote this crazy dystopian global narrative. Well, no, he hasn't done more, but his promotion of a global infrastructure, which, by the way, does not exist to track your every move, your every spending. And, oh, by the way, you already bought. Yeah, because this is what this means for people like you and me. Well, you already bought a bag of potato chips. Money girl, you can't buy another bag of potato chips till next month. Well, it's not because you can't afford it, because you're clearly overweight, and that's an extra 1,460 calories that you can't afford right now because you're considered overweight. Well, I'm 5 pounds over some. Anyway, you get the drift. It is a way to control your life. And guess who gets directly impacted? That's right, the marginalized, the disenfranchised, the people who don't necessarily have the money to go and throw around. And you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the lobbyists. I'm talking about the big people like big pharma, big finance, that can afford to buy. Yes, I said that. To buy and sell politicians. I know I sound like I should be wearing a tinfoil hat. I'm not. I promise you I'm only wearing my computer headset. But that is because this is that important. As I said, guess who gets hurt? And it's not the Joe Bidens of the world. It's not the Ted Cruz's of the world. It's not the Jim Jordans of the world. It's not the Kevin Kiley's of the world. And it's certainly not the Gavin Newsom's of the world. Or the Jeff Bezos. Or the Elon Musk's. They will all come out just fine. And I'm not saying eat the rich either, because that's not the case. I mean, even people who used to tend bar for a living know better than that, particularly since they happen to have a degree in economics. Okay, and there is a very specific person in a very specific district of Congress to which I am referring. All right. Now, having said all of that, still early September, we're still back to school. So, you all know that Money Girl now has something like $112,000 in student loan debt. I found out there's another, another $24,000 of student loan debt that I could get into if I really, really wanted to. Well, that's not something Money Girl's going to do. It's been a long decision. It's not been an easy one. Because the only place I could make money in my chosen field, aside from politics and, you know, yeah, aside from politics, which is messy and just not, where I think I can do the most good. Business, yes, but I can do what I do now using this platform, talking to you guys and giving you guys, well, let's face it, kind of, I'm not going to say marginal advice, because this actually is pretty much on the real, you know, pretty much real. It was interesting because I'm taking a class really about shipping and logistics rather than the blue ocean economy like it was billed. Like I said, here again, academia, the only place I would be able to make money as a PhD would be in academia. No thank you. Or politics. No thank you. Like I said, I'd much rather be able to come home, look myself in the mirror, and do what I do for all of you. And say, hey, these are the tips and techniques. Now, you might wonder, how on earth did I walk out with 15 items from Costco at $105? Well, one of my friends used to say, oh, fresh fruit, fresh fruit's a luxury. Well, not to me. Fresh fruit is absolutely essential. Why? Because it provides water, hydration, and nutrients. Okay. Your body uses water to maintain cell health, to maintain skin tone, and a few other things, including keeping your gut healthy. Water is essential. When they say water is life, they're not kidding. That being said, so, you know, I've talked about shopping at Dollar Tree, and we will go down and we will do a Dollar Tree shop. It's something that I do every month. I'm sorry, I refuse to pay more than $1.25 for my snacks. I do limit myself to 1 to 2 bags of potato chips a month, usually with some nacho cheese sauce. If I'm feeling really extravagant, the Lipton onion soup mix and sour cream. And that's because I have a budget. I get $281 to go through and to make sure that I have enough fresh food, and things to last for 3 meals and a snack, well, at least 3 meals for 30 to 31 days. So let's crunch the numbers, shall we? Because we haven't done that in a while. So 281 divided by 31. Wow. You know how much I can spend? I can spend $9 a day. Which is why we end up hitting the Dollar Tree, okay? So I can get a pretty good afternoon snack, which is a can of chicken salad, 5 crackers, comes with its own spoon to dish this out. Okay? And that's lunch. By the way, for those of you who are vegetarian, they do have a hummus. For those of you who like fish, they have a tuna flavor. They have several, actually. It's how you do that. You go through, okay, I have $9. And that is to spend it down to the very last dime. So $9 a day, $3 a meal, that is no snacks, or $4.50 a meal for 2 meals a day, which is doable. Some days 3 meals feels excessive. So, but then what do you need to do to supplement that? Well, there's always the I hate to say this, but the college has a food pantry that I can go and get things. So the food pantry is one thing. Once again, I want to take these 90 seconds to give a shout out to Big Stats. I'm talking about how to do things on a budget. Why? Because that's what Money Girl does. That is how she lives. I'm talking recycled pots. I'm talking being able to grab things that are discounted. I'm talking trash picking. Okay, there are a lot of ways to be creative and still live within a budget and still live within your means, even if it's only $9 a day. So these are the things that Money Girl does. I will come back and we will meet again next Monday at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And it'll be just another Manic Monday with Money Girl. And we'll figure out together how we go on this crazy journey of being able to live within our means at a time when our dollar goes doesn't go very far. And I will catch you on Monday at 8 p.m. on the flip side. Money Girl, out.